today on Real Radio.
88% of young people today leaving high school do not have faith in Jesus Christ by their fourth year of college. They give up on their faith in God. They wind up hating the Bible and believing God doesn't exist. Why? They are ridiculed and stripped of their freedoms to hold to what they believe in.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his topical series called Being a Christian While Being on Campus. Of all the environments of opposition to the believer who wants to proclaim and defend the faith, high school, college, the world of academia has to be by far the most challenging. Sometimes we experience subtle resistance, sometimes blatant hostility. In any event, do we really know how to handle the situation? That's what pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs addresses today in his series called Being a Christian While Being on Campus.
And our kids are growing up today in a godless system with secular textbooks that make fun of God, mock Jesus Christ, and pay more attention to and more volume of information to Marilyn Monroe than George Washington. And how will Marilyn Monroe help you in life versus the incredible perseverance of a George Washington? Unless you're playing Trivia Pursuit, I guess maybe knowledge of her will help. But the value of history is this: history is his story to us. And you know the old saying, for those who don't know history will be bound to repeat it. You only lick that hot iron once. You'll never do it twice. A child that has burned their fingers on an oven, they'll never do it a second time. Why? History. Example. Oh, I love this stuff. We're not going to make it. I love this stuff. Thomas Jefferson, Dr. Benjamin, I need everybody to listen. Thomas Jefferson, Dr. Benjamin Rush, he's a hero of mine, Benjamin Franklin, all united to form the abolitionist movement to stamp out slavery. Did you know that? No, because you know what? Recently we just heard from a kid, oh man, America, what's America done for me? And all those founding fathers, bunch of slave owners. You know what? They did own slaves. It was very vogue to own slaves in Europe and in America. Were all the slave owners nice to their slaves? No. But were there slave owners who bought as many slaves as they possibly could to clothe them, feed them, and educate them, which was against the law, by the way. King George said, you educate a slave, and I'll have somebody come over to America and kill you. Did you know that? Did you know it was against the law to lead a slave to Christ? Because they didn't have the approval of the Church of England. Did you know that? I've been to Thomas Jefferson's house. I've read the writings of his slaves. Did you know this? Thomas Jefferson not only taught them how to read, he taught them how to read out of the Bible. And you learn that in a secular tour there at Monticello. Awesome. Yeah, but they owned slaves. Yes, they owned slaves. And as soon as the freedom of America was intact, they began to release those slaves. And by the way, one of Jefferson's arguments were, gosh, I would have released these people today, but they would be homeless, they would be unemployed. What do I do? By the way, he went to France and ministered as a representative for the United States of America and took half of his black staff with him and had a ball. They had a blast. It depends on who you're talking about. Just remember this. These three guys wanted to set people free. That's not what you're hearing today in our classes. Everybody's having to apologize for America and for our Judeo-Christian values. By the way, here's a test. I will answer it tonight or some other night. Where was Europe? Don't say it if you know. Where was Europe and America buying the slaves from? Who were they buying the slaves from? Don't say it. That right there will flip your wagon. Example number two, what was the United States' first international war? What was the United States' first international war? By the way, a little bit of it's been America's longest running war. It's so constant that you don't even think of it as a war. The United States' first international war was in 1805. It commenced by order of President Thomas Jefferson, when he launched an attack against the invasion of the Muslim Barbary pirates in North Africa in the Mediterranean Sea to free thousands of slaves that had been taken captive from their African villages. Did you know that? Did you guys learn that in school? How come? This is a big deal. Our first international war after becoming a nation was against Islamic pirate terrorists on the high seas of the Mediterranean who had took from their villages in North Africa, Africans, and took them to Alexandria, took them to Tripoli, and sold them on the international slave market to Europe and America. Thomas Jefferson said, "This is wrong," and launched an armada and sent the United States Marine Corps for their first international mission. 8 of them. Hey, don't laugh. There's only 8 guys, but you know what they did? They whipped them and got those guys free. Why don't you guys know this stuff? It's available. You see, revisionists will tell you what they want you to know. American history is awesome, and God is all in it if you take the time to learn it. Example number 3, who is considered to be one of the greatest scientists that America has ever produced in its history? Anybody know? You should be afraid to say something because I'm busting you on every one of these things. He wrote an almanac. He made a clock out of wood, and for 50 years, it was only 1 second off within 50 years, and he made it by hand out of wood. He is the man who designed the Beltway of Washington, D.C. He was an astronomer, a physicist. He was a farmer, a botanist, an amazing mathematician, probably the best mathematician we've ever had. His mathematician problems that he's created are, I've seen them, I've had a chance to see them in Washington, D.C., and Harvard students graduating senior year cannot solve his problems. Only a few of them have. Are you ready for this? His name's Benjamin Banneker. Anybody heard of him before? Raise your hand. Anybody? Thank God some of you have over here. What's wrong with the rest of you? These kids are over here. Benjamin Banneker. Thomas Jefferson wrote to the King of France and said, "You got to have this guy over. He's brilliant." And when he showed up and stepped off the boat in France, the king freaked because Benjamin Banneker is a black man. Oh, yeah. Awesome, awesome man. By the way, I don't have the time to get into it. You should hear how he came to Jesus. Oh, my goodness. You ever heard of the term kick the bucket? Go find out what that means regarding Benjamin Banneker's life. Oh, I wish I could tell you this. We don't have the time. I don't even have the time to quit now. We're so far behind. By the way, listen to what Thomas Jefferson said about him in a letter to him. "Nobody wishes more than I do." He's writing to Benjamin Banneker, Thomas Jefferson, president. "Nobody wishes more than I do that nature has given to our black brethren talents equal to those of the other colors of men, and that the appearance of the lack of them is owed merely to the degradation in the condition of their existence, both in Africa and in America." President Thomas Jefferson, isn't that awesome? Homegrown revisionist, right here in California. This is now from our nation's past to the moment right now, Sacramento, Associated Press. "In the first major hearing of its kind in the United States, challenging the redefinition of gender, revisionism, will occur on Tuesday," that was yesterday, May 12, 2009, in the Sacramento Superior Court at 9 a.m., in direct response to the passage of California Senate Bill 777, SB 777. California Attorney General filed a motion to dismiss the case, arguing that the law does not support any claims of violations of privacy. In agreement with Brown is the Gay Straight Alliance, which filed a motion to dismiss the case, arguing that students should have equal rights. Doesn't that sound great? Listen, are you guys with me? Yeah. Students should have equal rights and non-discriminatory facilities. Doesn't that sound great? That sounds great. Doesn't that sound like, you know what? Asian, white, Hispanic, black should all drink from the same fountain. Don't you believe that we should all drink from the same fountain? Absolutely. Don't you think that no matter what color you are, you should be able to use the same bathroom? All the guys go into the bathroom. Doesn't matter what. There shouldn't be a black bathroom and a white bathroom. All men are created equal. Okay, sounds great. Non-discriminatory access to restrooms and other gender-sensitive, previously segregated facilities. Oh, I see where this is going. An attorney with Advocates for Faith and Freedom stated, nothing will prevent the 250-pound linebacker from deciding he wants to share the locker room with the cheerleaders if he chooses so. He further stated, if implemented, this bill will have disastrous effects on our school system. This social experiment defies common sense. Parents sending their children to public schools are trusting that school officials will protect their children's safety. It defies logic that schools will require by law to ignore a person's anatomy. SB 777 is not to create a gender-neutral environment, but to disregard the traditional value definition and its beliefs and respect for a mom and a dad in the raising of their children. SB 777. Your daughter is going to be in her bathroom at school in highly, if you've ever seen a guy's bathroom, listen, I don't know how girls are in their bathroom. I've never been in a girl's bathroom, but I would think like girls normally, you guys probably have doors on your bathrooms. You do? I've been to Sweden. They don't have doors and they don't have, you just walk in there. And listen, I don't want to, I can't be graphic because there's young people here. But you know what? Women are very discreet and they're very private and it's, you know, no, you see nothing. Guys are, hi, Bill, how are you doing? Hey, Mike, what's going on? You think that's going to happen in these gender-free zones? Unbelievable. This is California. It's gone nuts. And the people we sent to Sacramento are nuts. They've lost their minds. It's unbelievable what's going on. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 6, verse 6, these words I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit down in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. Mom and Dad, it's our responsibility to teach the kids. John 8:32 says, Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. We're seeing everything the opposite. Point number three this evening is this, the Christian worldview versus the secular worldview. The Christian worldview versus the secular worldview. And I'm going to try to pick up the pace because if I let myself get to point five tonight, there's 10 points, but if we get to point five, there's data there that's going to flip your mind. The Christian worldview versus the secular worldview. First of all, every one of us have a worldview here tonight. You may say, what's he talking about, worldview? It's how you perceive things in this world. It goes back to point number one. Do you believe in evolution or do you believe that God created? What you believe regarding that affects the whole way you conduct yourself in life. And a secular worldview is a worldview without God and without God's restraints. I can do anything I want. Don't tell me. I'm my own person. All that stuff's true. But you also, to be a human, must be responsible. No, I want to make choices all on my own, and I want someone else to pay for all my dumb decisions. I want to have all the fun, but without circumstances. That's impossible. You're actually flirting with anarchy when you talk like that. The Christian worldview is you're going to answer to God. And even if there's a man who hates my guts and wants me dead, if he needs my help. By the way, nobody exhibits this more than the U.S. soldier. I've seen it. When the guy is shooting at you and he gets shot and he's bleeding and the Marine runs over to the guy that was just shooting at him and calls for a Navy medic who comes in and binds the guy up, the helicopter, the terrorist out and treat him in a U.S. hospital, get him back to health while the guy's spitting, by the way, spitting on the surgeon that's helping him. Gets him back to health and then releases him back to, or puts him in prison, one or the other. Unbelievable. Where does that come from? Your worldview. Who are you tonight? Every one of you have a worldview tonight. What is your worldview? It dictates how you live your life. Do you fear God? Are you in awe of God? Do you respect God? It's going to be lived out in how you deal with other people, even your enemies. For the real Christian on this planet who has an enemy, that enemy of the real Christian, that Christian becomes the best friend of that enemy. Because we look beyond the enemy to God. And that enemy, though he doesn't perhaps believe in God, we honor his life. Students, we need to engage the world and challenge its positions. And we can do that respectfully. We need to do that. Remember I mentioned, was it last Sunday or whenever that was? I said, we always need to ask the question, why? Class, this is the way that it is. Raise your hand. Why? Make them earn their money. Why is that so? When we're secularist or humanist, man is the center of the universe. And that's not true. But if we are the center of the universe, then we live for the moment. We look out for number one. If it feels good, do it. He who dies with the most toys wins. But humanists are funny. Secularists are funny because they're walking, talking contradictions in action. They're hilarious. They enjoy all the freedoms that Judeo-Christian God brings to them, but they deny him. In Psalm 14:1, the scripture says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Wow. And then we'll end with this third point. We won't make it tonight, so we'll have to adjust things. But listen to the First Amendment. First Amendment of the Constitution. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of the people to peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. That's the First Amendment. The secularist will view the First Amendment as Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. They view that as, oh, there can't be any religion. And then if you press them, they'll say, well, there can't be any state religion. Well, now they're getting closer to the truth. Do you guys all know why the First Amendment is the First Amendment? By the way, does anybody know who the author is of the First Amendment? The same guy who launched the war against the Muslim Barbary pirates in the Mediterranean. Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson's best friend, by the way, you got to go there someday. You can go take the time as I'm talking, take the time to read that a little bit. God who gave us life, gave us liberty, and he references on all four panels of the Jefferson Memorial, he references God in every one of them. Well, he says that Congress shall make no law respecting a religion. His dear friend, the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Danbury, Connecticut, said, Mr. President, my friend, now that you're president, remember, don't let religion become something that the state controls like we had in England. There must never be a state church. And Jefferson said, I assure you, as long as I have control or power or influence, there will never be a state church. Ladies and gentlemen, we do not want a state church. And let me tell you something. Our kingdom is not of this world. We fight for what's right, and we'll go down swinging when we lose. But the truth of the matter is, we stand for salt and light because God called us to do that. Our kingdom is in heaven above. It's not of this world. My dear Muslim friends, they want this world for their kingdom. They can have it. Our kingdom is above. But check this out. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion or any restriction of someone exercising their religious rights. Can you be a Buddhist in America? Can you be a Christian in America? Can you be a Muslim in America? Can you be an atheist in America? Absolutely. It's amazing. It's wonderful, isn't it? No one's challenging that. The First Amendment is to defend religion. Not freedom from religion, but freedom of religion. But today we hear things like this, and we'll end here. I mean, really, we will. We hear people say like things like this. Hey, you know what? Isn't that to have the National Day of Prayer at the Civic Center, isn't that a violation of separation of church and state? The violation of separation of church and state. What is that? Where'd you get that from?
Well, I heard it somewhere. It's got to be somewhere.
Well, what law is that? What article, what section, what amendment is that? You're not going to find it. The founding fathers never said that. They never wrote that down. It's absolutely amazing. I have been, you can read, you can go to Daily Kos. Don't go there. It's a lunatic, insane magazine or blog or news source. It's insane. But they had a guy on there. I think it might still be on there. If you Google my name and the Daily Kos, you'll see what they said about me, have me arrested. They were going to turn me into the IRS because I encouraged you to register to vote, and that was a violation of the law, the separation of church and state. And I just laughed. They don't even know what they're talking about. This is America. It's not their America. It's our America. And young people today are growing up. You know what I want them to do? I want them to grow up on fire for Jesus. And I want them to get engaged in the culture, not hide in the corner and suck their thumb in the fetal position until it's over. I want them to be Daniels and Rebekahs and Deborahs. I want them to be like Calebs and Joshuas. Because you guys, if us oldies are going to sit it out, then let's get out of the way and let them lead. Young people today, they've been exposed to more junk than it took you and I 50 years to get exposed to. It's terrible. But you know what? Perhaps they've also realized, you know what? This is not meaningful in life. The guys or the girls, the sex, the drugs, the games, the whatever, it's not meaningful. But if they meet the real Jesus and they live for him radically, I say, as I have been saying, and I'm going to keep saying, I want a church full of radicalized Christians. Oh, I can't believe he said that. Oh, no, no, radicalized Christians. Radicalized Christians is the way it used to be. First, read your Bible, Book of Acts. That's radicalized Christians. They came into town. In my Spurs. No, they came into town with Bibles, you know, preaching the gospel, loving on people. All the people that were outside the city that nobody wanted, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, the lepers, all the Christians went over there, gave them the gospel, bound up their wounds, took care of them, and made them a part of the family of God. That's radicalized Christianity. In fact, you know what? Radicalized Christianity should be normal.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Being a Christian While Being on Campus. That's the title of this series we're presenting here on Real Radio, Being a Christian While Being on Campus. We'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, we always try to get Pastor Jack into the studio as many times as we can for our Friday feature called Ask Pastor Jack. Now, we weren't able to do that today, but if you've got a question, email it to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. That's askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. Now, as you probably know, we have a weekly television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. We also have a smartphone app by the same name, Real Life with Jack Hibbs, the smartphone app. It makes all those things we've talked about here on Real Radio accessible right there at your fingertips. Journey, that's another one of our television programs. You can get our Wednesday night study, which also airs live on hischannel.com, our Real Radio podcasts, Words to the Wise, and a whole lot more. Just download the free app, thumb through it, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Just go to your app store for Real Life with Jack Hibbs. It's the new free app for your smartphone. Of course, to learn more, you can always visit realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And our telephone number is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.